They begin to run it on down the Mississippi to the Gulf of Mexico.
We look down a river and we see the British come, and there must have been 100 of them beating on the drum. They stepped so high and they made the bugles ring. We stood beside our cotton bales and didn't say a thing.
Welcome back to the Jeff Moore Show at FM Talk 106.5. 34 minutes after the hour on this Friday afternoon. Hope everyone is doing well. Thank you for listening. Join us on the line now. He is represents the most of the southern portion of Baldwin County. Always good to get him on. He comes on every Friday about this time. For those of you listening, State Senator Chris Elliott is on the line. Senator, how are you this morning?
I am doing great and headed to the beach as soon as I'm done with you.
It's a hard life being Chris Elliott.
Well, I represent that part of the district too, and we get to call it work too. So we get to have a little fun and work at the same time.
Look, I'm going to go study the local economy. Do a little fact finding mission, perhaps.
By boat.
Oh, even better, Senator. First up, real quick, your thoughts on the RNC last night.
I did. Very impressive. I liked the messaging on it and the juxtaposition, if you will, with what the Democrats are putting out there. Obviously, we all know the president's going to do very well in Baldwin County and do very well in Alabama. The swing states, I've got to understand that this message is important. This is a crucial time for the country, and there is a very clear direction here that we need to take and one we don't need to take, and I hope they realize that.
Yeah, that it is a good contrast, though, that there is the RNC with all the flags and fireworks and Trump and Americana, and then this giant video teleconferencing call where we're talking about some things that are maybe some foreign ideas to traditional American values.
No question about it. I mean, there are a lot of folks that complain about the president's tweets. There are a lot of folks that complain about the way the president acts sometimes, but you cannot argue with the results. An economy that is growing and has grown, one that is rebounding faster from a global pandemic than anyone thought possible, the judicial appointments that are unmistakable and will be with us for a long time. We need to continue that going, both on the Supreme Court and just in the federal judiciary in particular, reductions in federal regulation and red tape. I mean, these are the things that conservatives and Republicans are about. And to those folks that are somehow or another got their nose out of the joint about the president's personality, I would simply say, please understand there's a lot more at stake than whether or not somebody tweets things every once in a while.
Senator, we'll move on to state politics here. As we've been talking about on this show a lot, the possibility of a special session. We've hammered that point many, many times. We just had Pro Tem Marshawn talking about it. And you and I think we're talking about there was a Brian Lyman story in the Montgomery Advertiser last week. They downplayed the prospects of it. Marsh is not very optimistic. Doesn't seem like he is even in favor of it, but it's for a different set of reasons. It's because he sees the special session as kind of being something that we couldn't accomplish because the parties involved probably aren't going to get along, that the House is going to not want to cooperate, and certainly the governor not really to come in, and he just doesn't want to go through the motions if people don't come to work. Is that something that's been on your mind about this?
Well, I can certainly understand where the pro tem's coming from, and he's got a lot more experience at it than I do. I mean, last session was disappointing, to say the least. And it wasn't just disappointing because people didn't get along. It was we couldn't get anything done. I mean, everybody was hung up on the procedure and what the deal was and whether or not we could break the deal. I mean, you had Senator Dan Roberts on yesterday. He's just about the nicest guy in the whole world. But and was saying, well, they had kind of said that was all that we were going to do, and we stuck to our word on that. You know, look, this is a time of a nationwide pandemic. There are a number of different issues that are urgently need to be addressed, not to mention all of the work that's left over from earlier in the year. We need to get back and get some of that stuff done, but I understand where the pro tem's coming from. He doesn't want to go up there to just go through the motions and look like we're doing anything. if the governor's going to be an obstructionist, and frankly, if the House can't get on board. We need to make sure that the House is ready to go back to work and earnestly do that, and that the governor's going to be able to work with us and actually get the work of the state of Alabama done. Or I think the pro tem's position is that it might just be a big waste of time. And he's a good conservative guy, which means he likes efficiency in government, and he don't want to waste everybody's time just for the pageantry of it.
Yeah, he said he would be for a special session if the people involved, the parties involved, were willing to come to Montgomery and go to work. But he says there's no reason to believe that, which makes me think, what's going on with the elected officials in Montgomery that they don't see? That I guess that's the biggest quandary to me, is no one seems to see any urgency or desire or whatever, everything could probably just wait until February.
You know, I get accused all the time, Jeff, of pushing too hard and going too fast and, you know, working too much and, you know, working on controversial issues and things of that nature and not being go-along, get-along as much as I need to be. And I guess I'll just wear that as a badge of honor. I'm ready to go back to work. I don't mind putting some pressure on my House members and the governor to say, guys, the people of Alabama need us to get back to work, pass some of these crucial pieces of legislation that are out there. You know, I was on a conference call this morning, a Zoom call, talking about this exact issue with business leaders down here. They are waiting on clarification on tax issues with PPP. They are waiting on clarifications from a liability standpoint. You know, these things are huge, and the economic development community is waiting on clarification on, you know, growing Alabama. I mean, those things are out there. They need to be dealt with. Let's get back to work.
And you raise a good point. You were on with my colleague Sean Sullivan earlier this week. The tax situation, it's not just levying a tax on the stimulus checks or, you know, other benefits. It's these businesses that don't like uncertainty that may have participated in the payroll protection program, and then once the loans are forgiven, then that is perceived to be income by the state of Alabama and is taxable. And that's something that they're going to have to be ready to either pay or not pay or whatever the situation is. There's no clarity on it, and that's why it would behoove the legislature to gavel in and say, we're not going to tax this stuff from the CARES Act.
Exactly. And while the taxation of the stimulus money to individuals and families is very important, let's be honest and frank about it. It's fairly negligible. It's $60 on the $1,200 that, you know, and of course that increases per family, etc. But from a business standpoint, a small business standpoint that was getting considerable money from the federal government to then turn around and pay out to its employees, that could be hundreds of thousands of dollars worth of taxable income, or what would be considered taxable income. The tax burden on that could be considerable, and those businesses are going to have to start planning on that right now. So what, in my opinion, we need to do is provide those businesses with some clarity, because their tax returns are due in March. And anybody that's been in a small business like myself understands that those plans and that planning is occurring now and will be occurring through the winter to get ready to go ahead and file those taxes.
But that's where you question, or at least I do, the sense of urgency isn't there. Why isn't there more being said about this? Why aren't these other members even interested in that? I can tell you, just publicly, people willing to speak out. I don't know what else is going on, why other members have chosen to lay low. But it's you, it's Arthur Warren Decatur, and it's our friend Dan Roberts from up in Birmingham, and maybe a few members of the House, Arnold Mooney. There just doesn't seem to be any drive or ambition or willingness to say, we, Governor, call a special session, let's get this taken care of.
I think you may be hearing some of those conversations taking place quietly with the governor's office. Not this will come as a surprise to you, not everybody is as vocal as Senator Orr and myself sometimes, or as blunt, but I think that behind the scenes you are those conversations are very much happening with the governor's office right now, and that is my understanding, that they are trying to urge her to call a special session. And while, Senator, I would agree with Senator Marsh that we need to get back and deal with a whole host of issues, that the likelihood that there is some sort of negotiated 6, 7, 8 bill agreed upon tranche of bills that the governor will be okay with and that the House will be okay with is probably more probable if there's any even conversation or hint of a special session. Failing that, I think the likelihood of the governor calling us back is pretty slim, because she is going to be very worried about other pieces of legislation like Senator Watley's that deals with emergency powers of both the state health officer and the governor.
But it's like we were, Senator Orr had come on a Sean Sullivan's show and said maybe they could find an agreement. Certainly, maybe not, if not in the Senate, maybe in the House, Mac McCutcheon could say we're not going to do this, or you know, this we could come to an agreement and not allow this to come up, that everything has to stay within the call. And there doesn't even seem to be that discussion going on.
I think that there may be that discussion going on behind the scenes, and I've heard rumblings of that. Now, look, I'm not in those discussions. I am not in leadership, and those are leadership discussions. But I am encouraging my leadership to have those discussions and to try to see if there is a path where we can get back to resolve these crucial issues for Alabama small businesses that have been impacted and hurt. I mean, look, you know, the problem here is that failing this, it's not a matter of government getting out of your way. It's a matter of failing to act by the government is going to hurt you, and that is a problem. That we should never be in a situation where the government is impeding the health and financial health of businesses or its citizens. That's the wrong way to go. We ought to be making sure we're enabling those folks to succeed, not the other way around.
And it's fascinating to me, though, that, you know, but you say these conversations about this maybe are perhaps going on behind the scenes, and I think you're right. I think there are those discussions. You're starting to hear buzz about them. But the public, they want to see, or they want to hear back. They want some response of this. And as far as I can tell, that element seems to be the lack of response in this. I don't really have really strong feelings about, you know, what is taken up. I just think there's a void there, and the legislature ought to be in the game. But the lack of responsiveness is curious to me. And maybe there's something to be said about kind of, you being the exception, that there is fear of backlash or something along those lines from either leadership or from the governor if you speak out a little too much.
Well, no question, and I have been the beneficiary, if you will, of that backlash from the executive. I mean, everybody in my district has seen that after, you know, some pretty vocal opposition to the governor's I-10 toll scheme as that matured. I mean, there was certainly a lot of backlash out of that. But that doesn't mean you don't continue to advocate and represent your people and your constituents. I mean, that's exactly what I'm supposed to do. I'm not, you know, the government's representative to the people. I'm the people's representative to the government. And that is a distinction that I think, you know, any elected official needs to make. And I would encourage your listeners to contact their representative, contact the governor's office, and let them hear from you and tell them directly, listen, let's get the legislature back to work. The burden of calling that special session lays at the governor's feet. She is the only one that can do it. And she needs to be the one that goes ahead and makes that call. So I'd say call the governor's office, ask him to get us back to work, and we'll go back to work.
And one last question on this, though. The one hang-up, the one potential problem is why the House, a lot of the Democrats in the House may be no-shows. They were no-shows at the end of the last session until the very, very end, most of them. But if you don't have enough members there, or if you don't have the opposition party there, particularly in the House, then is it a possibility that you can't get anything done? You need, you know, do you have enough members for a quorum? If some of the Republicans stay away because they feel threatened, that then you could call a special session, but you may not be able to get anything done just because you're not going to have people showing up for the special session.
Well, I understand part of that argument, and I would simply say on the latter part of that argument, you owe it to the people to at least try. I mean, I wouldn't say we're not going to do it because we might not. That doesn't make a whole lot of sense to me at all. On the first part of that question, and I'll put my partisan hat back on here for just a second, but I'll tell you, in the Senate, we get along very well with the minority caucus. We talk to them all the time. They are involved in the decisions on how the body runs and what's going to happen on a day-to-day basis. That's not the case in the House, and I think anybody that is around and studies the House knows that. But I fail to understand, again, with my partisan hat on, how your opposition not showing up when you have a supermajority is a bad thing, and how that's going to preclude you from getting work done. I mean, I'm sorry, but if the other team's not showing up, you ought to have pretty much free rein. And I'm not sure how that's necessarily a bad thing.
Yeah, well,
now, maybe I'm looking at this oversimplified, but that I can't fathom that.
Yeah, I tend to be in your camp on that one. It's puzzling. Sarah Elliott, we got to get to commercial break, but as always, thank you for making time for us.
Always enjoy it. Everybody have a good weekend.
You do the same. That was State Senator Chris Elliott, Daffy, joining us on the line. We got to take another break. We'll be back to wrap it all up. This is the Jeff Paul Show at FM Talk 106.5.